And I suppose this goes back to what Michael Osborne said about those jobs that robots will never be able to replace. The vocations that require social interaction, creativity, or require us to engage or manipulate our environment, like gardeners or hairdressers. But there are plenty of other jobs which don't include these skills, like paralegals or auditors. With that in mind, should we be taking artificial intelligence much more seriously right now? Philosopher Hugh Price again.
There's a good case for thinking that probably over the course of this century, we're going to be facing one of the biggest transitions that our species has ever gone through. Whatever it's going to mean, it's a challenge, and whatever its downsides and upsides, they're things that we face together. And I think it's very important to recognise that fact.
And to recognise those facts, we have to know the risks. Like, if we lose our jobs to robots, how do we then perceive ourselves? Will we have a crisis of identity?
There's a sense in which each of us has many different identities as members of different sorts of communities, work communities and family communities. And it may be that we need to shift things a little bit away from the kind of work focus in defining what we are and make some of the other kinds of focuses more important.
It's an interesting point you make, because I definitely define myself in part, certainly by what I do. I make radio. I mean, what are we without our jobs? I'm not sure how I would define myself. Hi, I'm Greyer, I'm a radio producer. I mean, I don't know what else I'd say.
Well, perhaps you say that when you're meeting people to interview them, but it may be that in other contexts you introduce yourself in other ways. I mean, certainly if I'm in a taxi and the taxi driver starts chatting, I mean, I'm very careful not to say I'm a philosopher. Partly that's because taxi drivers tend to have their own philosophies and be very keen to tell you about them.
So how do you introduce yourself then?
Well, sometimes I say, well, I'm a physicist.
What, because you won't get any questions?
Exactly. Taxi drivers don't have their own physics in them.
Okay, learned lesson. But that, and still you're saying a physicist, you know, that still is work related.
That's true. And as I was saying, I do think that to some extent we've got to move away from that. I mean, I think some people will end up having a more, what you might call sort of multidimensional kind of, well, work life, but also and they'll have more time for other things.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because something that came up with my interview with Mike was that actually algorithms and machine learning may free us up to do things that are much more enjoyable in life. You know, there may be the cons that we lose jobs on the way, but it might mean we have a much more satisfying job.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think there is a wonderful opportunity here, but it's the kinds of changes that are needed to make the best of it are probably quite far-reaching.
We've talked a little bit about there, about how what the benefits could be in terms of better jobs and stuff, but I'm wondering how actually you might have a more satisfying job, but actually how machine learning might seriously enhance what we do. I'm thinking medical images, and when you're looking for metastases of cancer or whatever, a machine that could endlessly and tirelessly look at those images and work out which were needed for further screening and not. I mean, I can imagine something like that having real benefits to not only that individual doctor, but also society as a whole.
Yes, and I think there'll be many cases like that where machines will soon be better at doing those sorts of tasks than we are. Fortunately, there's also a growing sense that the community of people involved are increasingly aware of, as it were, how much of our future they hold in their hands. And there's a very encouraging sense of a growing community coming together within the tech community as well as from the outside, from academics, to get together to think of meeting the kinds of challenges of the area and trying to ensure that we maximise the potential benefits.
So when you look to the future of AI, what do you envisage our future to look like?
It's very hard to do this long-term prediction. But I think I am an optimist. I think, of course, there are risks we need to consider, but there's a huge potential for it turning out to be something rather wonderful. The example I'm going to give you is a little bit contradictory, but imagine that before the development of sophisticated language, ancestors were trying to think about the question as to what they might be able to do if they had language. It's obvious that they wouldn't be able to get very far, and yet what was ahead of them was in many ways something quite remarkable. And I think that could, I'm optimistic that that's the case with AI too. we don't know exactly where it's going, but we do know that some of the possible destinations are really wonderful ones. And we want to work together to make sure that we get to the good ones and not to the bad ones.